John, the chapter 10, verse 10. Very familiar scripture. This morning, I would ask you to help me preach. You say, how in the world can I do that? Get in the frame of mind of receiving the Word of God and allow God to speak to you through His Word this morning. John 10 and 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have a life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You understand this morning the goal of the thief. Number one is to steal from you. Anybody in the house this morning that can honestly say the thief has stole from you? Not only is it the thief's goal to steal from you, it's his goal to kill you. And to destroy you. So we all understand this morning that we have an enemy. Now we also find in this scripture the goal of the Father. The goal of the Father is to give you life. The devil wants to kill you, but the Father wants to give you life. Not only does He want to give you life, He wants to give it to you more abundantly. Abundant life. You see, we live in a world of concern. We're concerned about theft. People robbing us of what belongs to us. We have alarm systems. We have camera systems. We lock our doors. Some may not want to hear this, but we have guns in our homes. First amen I've got from him in a while. But we have all of this to address the reality of thieves. Those that want to steal from us. You understand this morning that theft is a big business. And if you would allow me this morning, I would anoint myself to say a few things here. I don't want anyone stealing my stuff. Why? Because it's my stuff. Amen. And some of you probably feel the same way I do. I've worked hard for my stuff. I don't have any patience whatsoever with a thief. Amen. You wouldn't want me to be on jewelry if you was going before the court for stealing. I say, put you in jail, throw away the key. Amen. People work hard for their stuff. But we understand that theft is a big business. Now, I said that to kind of build a foundation for where I'm going in this message this morning. We understand, number one, that there is a theft in the physical realm that steals your stuff. Then there's the theft in the spiritual realm. Physical and spiritual. Some of you have a good alarm system. You have a good camera system. You even have guns in your home. You've done everything that you can to make sure that no one steals your stuff. But while you were guarding your physical stuff, there was a thief that robbed you in the spiritual realm. In Ephesians 1 and 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." I want you to note something in this verse. It didn't say that God is going to bless you with all spiritual blessings. But it says that God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. But yet, in the spiritual realm, the devil has stolen what God has given us. Let me list just a few things before we get to the meat of this message this morning that I feel that the devil has stolen from the saints of God. Listen fast. Number one, I believe that he has stolen their joy. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Everybody knows that the thief, the devil, wants to rob you of your joy. Now, I would ask you this question this morning is, why is the devil trying to steal your joy? Because he knows that if he steals your joy, he's stolen your strength. There are those that have been saved for many, many years. But yet, the devil has stolen the joy of your salvation. For others, he has stolen peace. I don't know about you, I like laying my head on the pillow at night and saying, "God, I know you got it under control. I'm just going to go ahead and go to sleep." But there's those in the house this morning that know what it is to lay your head on the pillow and can't sleep because the thief has robbed you of the peace that you should have in God. Amen. John 14 and 27 says, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Note that he said, I give it unto you. So we understand that it comes with the package, the promise. God has given us peace. But yet, there is an enemy. Anybody know what the enemy's name is? Not Roy Jones. Amen. It's the devil. So we understand that God has given us joy. God has given us peace. But there's an enemy out there that's trying to steal from us what God has already given to us. God's not going to give us joy. He's already gave it to us. He's not going to give us peace. He has already given us peace. Thirdly, for some, he has stolen relationships. In other words, let me put it this way. Can I preach a little bit this morning? Can I just obey God? You didn't want that divorce. If you've ever been through one, you wouldn't want one at all. Amen. That's what they tell me. Amen. But you didn't want that divorce, but the enemy has stolen your marriage. And because the enemy has stolen your marriage, then he's also stolen your joy. He's also stolen your peace. Can I tell you that the enemy has stolen the harmony in the home? You're looking at me funny this morning. Amen. Let me go just a step farther. You dedicated your children to the Lord. You prayed over them. You brought them up in the way that they should go. But yet the enemy has stolen your children. And because of that, he's stolen your joy. He's stolen your peace. For others, he has stolen opportunities. Can I talk about this just for a moment? Doors that should have been opened are closed because the thief has stolen those opportunities in your life. Let me put it this way. The opportunity to be blessed, but yet the enemy has stolen your blessing. Opportunities to be the head and not the tail, but the enemy. So we understand that there's an enemy out there that wants to steal what God has given us. I want to tell you this morning that I believe that God has many opportunities for you. But there's an enemy that wants to steal and shut the door to all of those opportunities. Somebody needs to make up their mind this morning. We're the head and not the tail. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. Then there's others. They've stolen their purpose. They're here, but they don't know why. Some people come to church that way. Amen. I'm here. Why are you here? I don't know. In other words, no purpose in life. Have you ever been around anybody like that? No purpose. No sense of a divine call on their lives. But can I speak bold just for a few moments? Today, we need to expose the enemy that has stolen your purpose. Because I believe that God is raising up a mighty army that's going to march forth with purpose. They know why they're here. God has given them a purpose in life. Then there's others that He's stolen their identity. And I could spend all of my time right here on this one point. But I won't. But in other words, they don't really know who they are in Christ. And for many, they don't even know if they're male or female, man or woman. They've lost their identity. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we need to go into the enemy's camp and we need to reclaim our identity. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. Then there's others that He has stolen life. In other words, what I'm saying this morning is they don't feel like there's any life left in them. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Don't let the devil steal your life. Don't let the devil steal abundant life. So what are you saying? I'm saying we need to reclaim our joy. We need to reclaim the peace that we have in the Lord. We need to reclaim our relationships, those opportunities, our identity. Now in 1 Samuel 13, all this I've said up to this point was just icing on the cake. But 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 2. Says, and it came to pass when David and his men come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amittites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now, we got an issue here. Note verse 2. And had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. Now, I'd like to read several more verses, but I'll just reply to them. Now we understand in 1 Samuel chapter 30 that while David and his men were in battle, the Amalekites, the enemy, came in and stole what belonged to David and his men. We understand that the enemy burned their stuff, took the women and children, their lifestyle, stole everything that belonged to David and his men. Are there anybody here this morning that just kind of have that feeling down deep? That something's been stolen from you. You see, I don't know. I feel like there's somebody here this morning along with me that can put yourself where David and his men was. Everything was going good, but yet you stop long enough and you just feel like that the enemy has stolen something from you. Let me put it this way. How many here today is as close to God as you can get? Help me count them, Sister DeHart. In other words, you get that feeling that the enemy has robbed you of some things. Now, understand that the things that they value the most is gone. I want to tell you, there's a car out there, see you can get it. Go in my house. He starts messing with my family. I mean, there's a boldness that comes over me. You think Jesus run him out of the temple with a whip? You ain't seen nothing like this pastor. You start fooling with my family. Amen. Anybody with me? So we understand that the very thing that they valued the most, David and his men, is now gone. In 1 Samuel 30, verses 3 through 4, we find that, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept, until they had no power to weep. You see, it's something for the enemy to steal from us, but it's something else for us to get in the state of the mind that it doesn't bother us. I don't know about you, I'm bothered this morning. I want everything that God has got for me, and I don't want the devil robbing me of anything that belongs to me. So we understand that David and his men, they see the city burning. Their wives are gone. Their daughters are gone. Their family is gone. And what did they do? They wept. I don't know how you feel this morning, but I believe that it's time that Christians began to weep about the things that have been stolen from the saints of God. God had better for us, but yet the enemy stole from us. So they wept until there was no power left. Now, I'm going to get down to the nitty-gritty. Is that okay? I hope Bobby don't die and leave us. I'd be in trouble. I got one amen back there. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Bobby. The only reason that the Amalekites were able to steal from David, now listen to me close. How was the enemy able to come in and take what belonged to David and the men? How did it happen? It happened because the men were gone. Now, you can knock on my door, I'll open the door and let you in. But if you start trying to knock my door down, I better leave that one alone. But how was the enemy able to come in and take what belonged to David and the men? They were gone. Now, if I was a thief and I wanted to steal something from you, Gary, I'd find the time that you're gone to steal what you got. Right? Where are the men? They're gone. So the enemy comes in and takes what belonged to David and his men. Look at your neighbor and say, fasten your seatbelt, it's going to get rough. If the devil can get the men, is Sister DeHart, come alive, Bobby. If the devil can get the men, can I preach to the men, women? All right. I knew you was out there. If the devil can get the men so preoccupied in other things, then he can come in and take what belongs to them. You see, sometimes the devil will come in an angle that you don't even foresee. He'll come in an angle to get us as men so preoccupied in everything else that we don't even realize that the enemy has come into our home and stole things from us. While I'm here, men, do I have any here today? Some of you sitting there said, I'm not getting involved there. He's the... What are you saying? I'm saying, men, we are the priest of the home. Just like when the devil stole from Adam, he stole from Eve, and not only that, he stole from you and I. But I believe, you want to know what I believe? I believe that God is raising up men to be men of God. Men that are going to be the priest in their home. Men that are going to stand at the doorway of their house and say, the enemy is not welcome here in my home. Now, 1 Samuel 30 and 6. Now, I want to say I've read this several times, and every time I'm reading it, I'm asking questions, so maybe you can answer some of these questions. We find in verse 6 that David was greatly distressed. Why? The devil stole his stuff. Well, when I read that, I can understand that. If you've ever been robbed, you understand. You know, it bothers you. But when I read the next part, for the people spake of stoning him. Wait a minute. Why? Because the souls of all the people were grieved. Every man for his son and for his daughter. Now, when I read that, I'm thinking to myself, you know, David lost his family just like the rest of the men lost their family. In other words, the devil didn't just steal from the men. He stole from David also. And all of a sudden, they're ready to stone David. You still got your seatbelt on? How many times do we blame others for what we have allowed the devil to do ourselves? So sometimes we have to own up and say, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me. I've allowed the devil to rob from me and steal from me. They're ready to stone David. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Can I tell you, I believe it's time that we began to encourage ourselves. We saw what the devil has done. We saw what the enemy has done. We saw the thief trying to steal what belongs to us. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Now I can hear you thinking, somebody said, oh no, I hope he didn't. I was trying to figure out where I was going to eat after church. Sizzling will be full. You can stand in line. It'll be there. But here's the question, you know, we all agree that the enemy has stole from us, right? But how do I get it back? Have you ever had anything stolen and then you're just continuously thinking, how do I get it back? Hey, amen. I turned it over to Matt. He's dragging his feet. I don't know what the deal is. It's my stuff. He ought to take it priority number one. I want my stuff back, Matt. It's in those times that we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Realize that the enemy has stolen from us. But how do I get it back? Verse 8. 1 Samuel 30 and 8. And David inquired at the Lord. Now for you that don't understand Fort Payne, Alabama talk, he's saying, Lord, can I get my stuff back now? David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, the Lord answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. I don't know how that makes you feel. That makes me want to shout. It makes me want to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. Lord, what do I do? The devil has stole so much from me. What shall I do? The Lord says, go after it. Amen. Not only that, he says, you're gonna get it back. You're going to recover all that the enemy has stolen. Amen. This is my last point, so you better get it and get it quick. What does the devil, the devil has stolen everything from David and his men. David goes to the Lord and he inquires of the Lord, what shall I do? The Lord tells him to go back and get what belongs to him. In other words, the Lord tells David to go into the enemy's camp, take back what the enemy has stolen. I'm sorry, Jan Sims. It's not going to do you no good to sit at home and whine and cry and call the police department every other day to see that they got your stuff. If you're not willing to man up and do what you need to do to get your stuff back. Now, I'm talking about the spiritual realm. You let police take care of your stolen car. So David says, what can I do? The Lord says, go into the enemy's camp, take back what is stolen. Now, this is the meat of what I've been getting at. 1 Samuel 16 and 13. Samuel took the horn of the oil. He's anointing David. He anointed him in the midst of his brethren. Notice what happened. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. When Samuel anointed David, that anointing, the Spirit of the Lord, came upon him from that day forward. Am I right? Now, here's what I want to leave you with. Can I tell you, as men of God, as the priest of your home, can I tell you this morning that you have that same anointing that was upon David? If you're a Christian, you have that same anointing that David had in his life. So what are you saying? I'm saying, go get your stuff. Would you stand? Go get your stuff. Can I tell you this morning, on the authority of God's Word, you say, I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe the cover, Holy Bible. But upon the authority of God's Word, He has given you power over the enemy. In other words, we allowed the enemy to steal from us because He gave us the power to stop the enemy from robbing us of what belongs to us. Men, you have that anointing, that yoke breaking anointing. You have that anointing on your life. David had that anointing on his life. But yet the enemy robbed him. And he's reminded, I'm anointed. Now I'm going after my stuff. In closing, I hope I've said something this morning to help us as men to rise up and be the men of God. Go into the enemy's camp. Take back everything the enemy has stolen from us. Have any men that feel the same way? I have that anointing. I have that power. I'd love to have all the men to come down this morning, but it's just not enough room. But I'm praying for you as men of God. God's going to raise you up to be a man of God. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to get up in the morning, men. You're going to get up in the morning, and when your feet hits the floor, the devil's going to say, oh no, he's up again. Amen? Oh no, he's up again. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. We never know. But if you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit has spoke to your heart, some form, some fashion, there are those that's never been saved, priority number one. You'll never be the man of God in the home until you give your heart and life to God. There's others that the Spirit of the Lord has spoke to. There's some avenues in your life that you've let down. The enemy has robbed your family. And you need help. I want to give you this opportunity to meet us here in this altar. So many things has been laid on this altar. Are they one that the Holy Spirit has spoke to? Are they one? Are there one more that the Holy Spirit has spoke to? Are there another one that the Holy Spirit has spoke to?